Good evening, everyone, and welcome to yet another Thursday night talk time with a Christian woman in the UK. And tonight you've only got the beautiful Sidone and Giselle because our lovely Naomi has got a bad cold. Really, I think she just wanted a break and she's just waffling. She has a bad cold. But anyway, Naomi, our prayers are with you, dear, and we really do hope you get over that cold very quickly and get back with us next week. And tonight, Sidonie and I, we had a quick chat before we went live and started recording. And tonight we're going to be talking about, I suppose, the pitfalls of Christmas, because it can be a very lonely time. It can be a very hurtful time. It can be a time where people who don't have family or friends, or they feel they don't have friends, can feel totally isolated. And tonight we're going to be talking in our, as we always do, our all honesty, our hearts open bare and everything, and we will, call a spade and get really stuck in and talk about it. Christmas is a
It's
sad time,
true.
isn't it, Sedona?
It is. And I think, we were saying earlier before we came on, we were saying sometimes when you have perhaps family or kids and you can get so swept up in the business and emotion and preparation for Christmas for your family that you almost kind of forget that some other people don't have that. They don't have people to share, the emotions and the highs and the lows and the excitement with, and for some people it can be an incredibly lonely time. And some people, for some people it might be a reminder of perhaps loved ones that they've lost, or Christmas traditions that have been lost because they've lost, a spouse or a parent or a sibling, or it can be an incredibly lonely and painful time for people. And I think we thought we'd take the opportunity now to perhaps just talk about that a bit more and shed some light on it, and maybe just make people aware that there are people within our church family, whether that's locally or globally, that are lonely. And if we could perhaps find some way to help and support them and come alongside them in what should be a festive season, and perhaps bring a little bit of joy into someone else's life. Yeah.
So, Donnie, you did a brilliant post in the group about people being lonely for Christmas if they wanted a phone call. And I were gathering up some donations to try to give out as many basic food hampers to those that really need them as we possibly can. Because it is so sad at this time of year that a lot of people, they're working, but they afford even basic foods because of rising rents, rising mortgages, rising utility bills, and just everything. It is hard to put food on the table. It really is. And you know what I dislike about Christmas, and that what I dislike about Christmas is the fact that when kids go back to school after the Christmas holidays, and little Johnny from Rich Mummy and Daddy has got Xboxes and scooters and bicycles and iPhones and everything he wants. But little Johnny from Poor Mummy and Daddy got maybe a matchbox toy or just a colouring in book. And that little Johnny's wondering, what did I do so bad that Santa Claus didn't bring me lots of presents? And what I would love to see everybody doing is that if you want to tell your children the lie about Father Christmas, that's fine. I'm not knocking that. Bring your kids up whatever way you feel right. But what I would love to see every parent do would be wrap up just a bar of chocolate or a colouring book and crayons. You can get those for £1 a piece. And they're from Santa Claus. But all the other presents are from your mum and dad and aunts and uncles and friends. And that way then, little rich boy Johnny will go back to school and say, oh, Santa Claus brought me a colouring book and crayons. And little poor boy Johnny will say, oh, I got that too. And that will stop this horrible thing of children being brought up with big chips on their shoulders. That what did I do wrong that Santa Claus didn't like me? What did, and I know when children come to a certain age, they know that the truth about Santa Claus and everything, but still some children, maybe 9, 10, 11, still believe in him, and they still get this hurt, and that can create anger and bitterness and everything. So that's what I, when I am queen of the world, that's what I will make every parent do.
Yeah, but you make a very good point there, because I mean, right up until I think you said it a few weeks ago, I hadn't actually thought about it like that. I hadn't considered it like that, you know, like some children that perhaps aren't as fortunate could very well be having those feelings. And it's, you know, how can we help those children? Because if they're equating love, or, you know, and there's the whole thing of Santa's watching to see if you've been good all year, and if they're equating Santa bringing them presents with, you know, as a kind of reward or measure for how good they've been that year, that is perhaps giving them the wrong message, because that's saying you weren't good enough this year, or you know you didn't live up to Santa's expectation, and so you're not getting this, that, and the other. And yeah, you're right, that can be psychologically, I don't want to say damaging, because that seems a bit extreme.
It does,
but it's
it?
Hurtful. It is painful, and it's perhaps not something one would want to intentionally inflict on a child, especially on Christmas Day, say, or the Christmas season. So yeah, it is something for parents to consider, and perhaps in light of the fact that children very much view presents from Santa as a reward for being good. It's like that song says, you know, you better watch out, he's looking to see who's been naughty or nice.
Yes.
And if children are viewing Santa coming with presents as a reward for whether they've been naughty or nice, then we almost want to give them the right message and say, like you said, yes, Santa's brought you this, but the rest of the things are really from your mummy or daddy, so we shouldn't be, oh, you've been so good, or you've been so bad, because children will just make those connections. So, you know, that's a very good point you make. And you mentioned about, you know, the drive we have in the group at the moment, and it's been absolutely phenomenal. I mean, we were saying last week, we have been completely blown away. So we've offered for people to either sponsor a food parcel, and or give someone a call on Christmas Day. So within our little support network, support group, community that we have on Facebook, there are about 3,000 women on there at the moment, or just shy of 3,000 women. And a couple of weeks ago now, it was, I think, we put up a post, because we do this every year, and God is so faithful, because every year it seems to get better and better and better.
Yes.
And God has been just so amazing, because when I look back to when we started the group 3 years ago to where we are now, it could only have been God that has done what he's done. And so it's
Big
been
time.
Yeah, we're completely blown away. So we offered for people to either sponsor a food parcel and or a phone call on Christmas Day, because we recognise the fact that some of our members are homebound. They perhaps don't have anybody home with them to share Christmas, and some of them perhaps can't afford a meal, but then we also have members that perhaps have a little bit to spare, and or, you know, it's something where they might not have a lot, but the little, out of the little that they have, they want to share. So we have something where you can either invite someone around your house on Christmas Day for Christmas dinner, you can give someone a call on Christmas Day, or you can sponsor a basic food parcel for someone on Christmas Day. It will get delivered round and about Christmas Day. And we have been completely blown away by the amount of support and offers that people have put out there, both in cash and in kind. People have volunteered to call people. People have sponsored food parcels. People have volunteered to open up their homes on Christmas Day for somebody to come and share Christmas lunch with them. And these women are just testament, A, to the fact that you're never too far away from a Christian, and
yes.
B, to the fact that we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think for me, that's really resonated, the idea of us being a family, the idea of knowing that I'm never too far away from a Christian sister.
Yes.
And I know without a shadow of a doubt that if I were to say today that I'm going to be in Stranra, for example, I'll have a sister there. You know, if I said I was going to Manchester, I know I'd have sisters there, or Birmingham, I know I'd have sisters there, or Leeds, or Liverpool, and or London, or Cornwall. And it's just that feeling of, no matter where we are in the United Kingdom, or no matter where I go in the United Kingdom, I'm never too far away from a Christian sister
That's
willing
it.
to take me and show me the ropes, or have me for a night, or keep me safe wherever I find myself. And that's a real support network, and that's something that we have developed and we are proud of. But at the same time, we give glory to God, because
oh yes,
that bond across space and time could not have happened without him.
No, definitely. And as you
And
say, about no matter where you go to in the four nations of the United Kingdom, you know you've got a sister somewhere there that will put you up for the night. Now, if you come here, you might have to sleep with a dog, but that's fine.
Right.
Loads and loads and loads of sisters from the group have already met up. Now, I know we had in August, we had the official meetup, but there's been loads of unofficial meetups. Like, look at Sharon, bless her. She travelled all the way from Southport up to Stranraer. She went to Greenock, first of all, and stayed with another sister up there who's in the group. And then she came down to Stranraer to see Sue and Lane and I. And we had an absolutely ball of a time. But she's also been to London to visit with another sister, Stephanie. And there's other sisters I know meeting up. And it's absolutely brilliant. It really is absolutely brilliant. And it's lovely to see them, that that they are hooking up together and meeting up. And, you know, isn't it lovely?
It is.
Lovely. And
It is.
especially, there's a lot of young mothers in the group that really get out. So, and there's other young mothers that can help each other. And maybe even an older woman could help a young mother that's been through or something too. But, but it
we
is.
Had that, I think, a few months ago. We had a lady in the group, I don't know if you noticed, she had a young child, I think two young children under the age of five, and she was really struggling. And there was an older woman in the same area whose children had just left home to go to university. And she offered, and she was like, look, you know, I'm around the corner if you want to come to the park for a walk. And I thought that was just the most amazing, refreshing thing to see happen. But I think, you know, for me, I would like to see that replicated within the Christian community. I would like to see that feeling of unity and togetherness, because really, we are a family. We are a family. And I know, you know, as women, we have our own sort of, you know, within the group, we talk about our own sort of unique set of challenges and circumstances that we perhaps face within this family of ours. But in the largest sense of the word, we are a family. And so can I just encourage you at this time of Christmas, if and when you do get around to listening to this, and there is somebody in your church family, or even your immediate family, that you perhaps think, do you know what, this person, this great aunt Joe or great uncle, I don't know, David, would be lonely at Christmas. Do you know what, I'll give him a call on Christmas Day, or I'll take him something on Boxing Day or Christmas Eve, and we can sit down and have, I don't know, a glass of sherry together, whatever tickles your fancy.
Exactly.
And just give somebody half an hour of your time this Christmas. Somebody who you know will be lonely. Somebody, and if you're not sure, pray and ask God to reveal to you who you can invest that time in. Because to you, it might just be half an hour that you could have spent doing something else. But to that person, that half an hour is everything.
Yeah. And like, Sedona, you know well that being in ministry, we know that we need funds to keep the ministry going, even an online ministry, keep it going. Mm-hmm. But I'm a great believer that when people say, oh, I've no money to tithe to the church or ministry, but you've got time.
Mm-hmm.
And to go and sit with an elderly relative or a neighbour for half an hour, have a couple with them once a month, once a week if you can manage, but once a month, that is tithing into the kingdom. Yeah. And tithing your time, to me, is far, far, far more important than tithing money.
Yes.
But ministries still need money. I'm not saying don't ever tithe money.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But, you know, these days they do say time is money. Time is money.
It is something I've got. But yeah, the way I look at it is, Michael and I, having no children and everything, so we've no grandchildren and things to come around and whatnot. So it's only him, me, the cat and the dog on Christmas Day, which suits us. Now, we could go out and do something, but we choose not to. We have a nice time just at home. But I keep thinking, Michael's 74 coming, I'm 70, and maybe in another, I don't know, 5 years or 10 years time, we could be sitting really lonely, so we could. And I would like to think that somebody might come along someday and just wrap the door and say, hey, let's have a couple. And it doesn't have to be Christmas time. It can be any time of year.
Yeah.
But this is the season for giving.
Yes.
This is, you know, the time to be joyful. Yeah. And, you know, even for people that don't believe in Jesus Christ, they can be a joyful time for them too, because it's a party time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was it the band Slade that did the song Be Lonely This Christmas Without You? Was it Slade or Shawadi Wadi or someone?
We'll have to hit Professor Google.
A secular song, you know, and the line goes, it'll be lonely this Christmas without you. And Christmas is a very lonely time. Even for people in relationships, there's sometimes you're in a relationship. And depending what your relationship's like, you can be very lonely as well.
Yes, that's true.
So if we've got any ladies in the group that are in a relationship like that, we're here, quick phone call on Christmas Day just to say hey. Because if you feel lonely, there's no reason to be ashamed in feeling lonely. You need to reach out to us.
Yeah.
Because we can't phone you because we don't know who you are.
Yes.
But you know who we are and what we're offering to help. So it's up to you to make the step and step out in faith and reach out to us. Pray about it and God will direct you to it, won't he, my dear?
Yeah. And, you know, you make a good point. It is a time of giving and it doesn't have to be materialistic giving. And perhaps this year, I'd encourage all our members and those that are listening to us to make it a year of giving your time. Give your time this year. Give the gift of time. It's the one thing that once it passes, you can't have it back again. You can't rewind it, but it is priceless. In a world that where everything is fast going, everything is fast paced, people want things done yesterday, nobody wants to sit down to have a cup of tea or listen to anybody. Everybody's busy on their phones or iPads or whatever latest streaming device is going on. I want to challenge you to give the gift of time to somebody.
Yes.
Give the gift of time. Forget about the presents. Find somebody that you would give a half an hour to, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, or Boxing Day. Give, that's what, 72 hours I make it?
Yeah, 72 hours.
Give half an hour out of those 72 hours to somebody. Could be a neighbour, could be a relative distant or near that you know is alone or perhaps doesn't have anybody. Could be That single mother down the street, you know, is struggling on her own with three kids, and she's just done the Christmas, and she's woken up on Boxing Day, and her kitchen is absolutely filthy, and she's got nobody to talk to, and all she wants to do is have a cup of tea whilst it's still hot. Give her half an hour. She'll really appreciate it. To you, it might be nothing, but to her, it's everything. It might be the homeless man that you see when you walk into Tesco and it opens the next morning on Boxing Day, and he's been sat there because he's just spent Christmas on the cold, hard floor. Give him a cup
I
of
thought
tea,
that's gonna
half an
make me
hour.
cry. That's
But
just the thought of that.
that's the reality for Christmas for some people.
It is.
If you can, I know there are loads of food banks operating this time of the year because, like Giselle quite rightly said, the cost of living crisis and cost of utilities mean that people can't afford food to eat. There's loads of food banks, and there are also, sadly, not as many soup kitchens as I personally would like to see. But there are loads of, I know, churches opening up soup kitchens for the homeless, especially now. I mean, I'm not that far down south, but we're hitting minus temperatures here. And to think that there are people out there on the streets that are sleeping in these sub-zero temperatures, with nothing but a sleeping bag.
Yeah.
It's just, I can't even begin to think what they're going through. And there are charities like Shelter that look after people like that. There's soup kitchens. Find out in your local area what churches are running soup kitchens. Give your time. Give half an hour of your time. Go there and volunteer. Go there and sponsor a cup of tea. Sit with somebody. Hold their hand. Find out their story.
Yes.
Because most people that are on the streets don't want to be on the streets. That's not the life they planned for themselves. Nobody stays as a little boy or a little girl and dreams being homeless. Nobody dreams of living on the streets as an adult. People find themselves in these situations, and sometimes for those people, you actually sitting with them for half an hour means a lot more than you giving them money. You actually taking the time to speak to them as a human being and not just walking past them means a lot more to them than just, chucking a couple of pounds in their collection hat. So I challenge you to give the gifts of time to whoever you can this Christmas, because we're surrounded by so many people that need time.
Big time.
They need money, yes. And they need food, yes. But sometimes people just need time. People need time to feel validated. People need time to feel human. I was speaking to somebody who approached me, and she said, the best thing somebody has ever made me feel when I was at my lowest was made me they made me feel human. She said, I wasn't a statistic, I wasn't a stereotype, but I was human. I was an individual. I had a story, I had a voice, and that person took the time to listen to my story. That made me feel human again. And to that person, it might not have meant anything, but for that lady, it validated her as a human being, as God's creation, as someone who's made in God's image. And it doesn't matter that she hadn't washed for a few months.
That
Doesn't
doesn't
matter
matter.
that she was going through what she was going through. But at that point, she said, the fact that somebody stopped to speak to her as a human being made her feel human again and loved in God's image. And I think let's do that this year, as Christmas. Let's give the gift of time.
And not only give the gift of time to neighbors, no matter how old or young they are, or distant relatives and even distant friends, but mums and dads, husbands, wives, give time to each other. Because this time of year, I can imagine with children, and all the hustle and bustle and getting the presents done and getting them wrapped up and getting the food and all made and having the in-laws and the outlaws round for Christmas Day. And you forget about each other. You forget about yourselves. And dare I say it, even believers can forget about God on the day, because we just get so wrapped up in the whole commercialism of it. So remember to take time out for what the day is supposed to be. And I know we all know that Christmas Day, 25th December, isn't the day Jesus was born, but
Yeah, and that's why.
but it is the day that the calendar says, the Gregorian calendar says that we celebrate. So let's do it.
It's like I was thinking about it the other day in Greece. It's like the queen had two birthdays, didn't she? She had like her real birthday, and then she had like her official birthday.
Two birthdays as well. I've got the birthday when I was born from my mum, but then I've got my birthday when I became reborn in Christ.
Yes, there you
And
go.
that's the one I celebrate, is my rebirth.
There you go. See?
Yes.
So if you've got two birthdays, Christ can have as many birthdays as he wants.
He could have won every day of the week. But this is
Every
the
day is Christmas.
That's it. Every day is Christmas. But you let's remember exactly what the day is supposed to be about. Taking one day a year that most people will remember Jesus. And it's sad that even some Christians only remember him on Christmas Day. But hey ho. But take
But
time to remember.
I think as Christians, though, I know some Christians go on about we shouldn't celebrate Christmas. It's not the right day for Christmas, and blah blah blah. And they go on about it for whatever reason it is that they do, and that's their prerogative, and that's fine. However, I can't help but thinking and feeling that if they were to put half as much effort into inviting people to their Christmas Day services as they spend trying to not even defend, just trying to obliterate Christmas Day being the 25th of December, they'd get a lot more people through church doors.
Exactly.
If we spent as much energy trying to get our non-Christian friends and family into Christmas Day services as we spend saying Christmas Day, it's not Christmas Day, it's not Jesus's actual birthday, then imagine what good we could do, because there are churches up and down the country that have services on Christmas Day.
Exactly.
And so invite somebody. Let them come along to your church service. I guarantee you they would know at least one of the carols that are sang that day.
Of course they will.
And once they come in there's just something magical about Christmas, whether you like it or not, whether you choose to accept that it's Jesus's birthday or not. There's
Now, you know, you know, Sir Johnny, I personally don't celebrate Christmas the way. Well, when I say I don't celebrate Christmas, I don't put up a tree. I don't put up decorations. I don't send out Christmas cards. I don't buy presents, because the way I look at it is, I would rather send a little card to somebody all throughout the year, just, hey, I'm thinking of you, instead of doing it when commercialism tells me to do it. And I think the reason maybe I don't go to train all is I'm just too lazy now. But you know, I don't go all out for it. But I do love the magic of Christmas, and I love the carols. And starting on Sunday night, there was the first service of Pearls of Grace Sunday night service. I played a carol. I played a carol on Tuesday night, and I intend to have a carol done every time that we're on a Zoom call. Because it is just a magical time of year. And the one that always gets me is Silent Night. That always brings tears to my eyes.
I love it. Oh, you heard it here first. That's her favorite carol.
It's Silent Night. And I can't sing a note, but I sing that one beautifully. I do all the harmonies, all the instruments, everything.
Oh,
I'm a
my goodness.
brilliant singer. But no, the carols are absolutely fantastic. So they are. And like you, they've got a lot of meaning too. Like you, the first Noel. There
It's
and
powerful.
yeah, and oh, little town of Bethlehem,
Yes.
Oh my goodness, mate, they're all fantastic.
And there's something about the magic of Christmas, and I know, and this is the other thing as well, that I know, that the commercialization of Christmas takes away from the story, but I'm still quite happy that in a lot of schools and nurseries, they're still acting out the nativity. And for a lot of children, some of these children aren't even from Christian homes. So Christmas is really the first time that some of these children hear about a virgin birth of a little baby, Jesus. And I know that somehow, we're a multi-faith society, but there's still something quite fundamentally Christian about the nativity and the virgin birth and the baby Jesus wrapped in a manger. And Mary getting that visitation from Angel Gabriel. And there's still something quite magical about watching the children act out this nativity plays. Because guess what? They have to learn their lines.
Yes,
And a
they
lot of
do.
those lines come from the Bible. Yes, some of it is adapted to modern day English and modern day scenarios, but those children are effectively memorizing. And for a lot of those children, you'll speak to them and they'll tell you, yes, we've heard about the nativity. And it's the one thing, one day in the Christian calendar. I mean, Easter doesn't have the same effect on children. There
No.
are no Easter plays. They don't get to hear of the resurrection as much as they get to hear of the virgin birth and the birth of this special baby Jesus that we're celebrating. And I think, we shouldn't lose the power of that. We shouldn't lose the fact that this is a time when even children in nursery settings are acting out the nativity, Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus and the miracle birth and the three wise men coming to pay homage to the only king, the king, even though he's just a little tiny baby. These wise men have traveled from so far away to come see what's so special about this little baby. And children as young as 2 and 3 and 4, all the way up to primary school, are learning about this king at that age. And I know we can knock Christmas, and I know we can say how commercial it is, but I also think we should appreciate that it presents a unique opportunity to evangelize to young and old alike, because how many parents go to those nativity?
Oh, Sedona's frozen. Oh. Right, I'll carry on. I think what Sedona was going to be saying was that with the children being at these nativity plays, there you're back again.
Yes.
You
Yeah, you
froze
go
there.
on.
I was about to carry on saying that I think what you were going to say was that with the children going to these nativity plays, their parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and friends of their parents are going as well to clap on their little proteges up on the stage. So it is a brilliant way of the first steps of sharing the gospel with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
And
some of the family members aren't even Christian.
exactly. Now, I several days ago, two young girls, I was talking to them in the street here. And when I say young girls, they're only like 10 now. But two years ago, when I was blessed that I had was able to put on a nativity play at a church, and these two of these young girls were in the nativity, and one of them looked at Mary, and she said, "Do you not do that play any longer?" And I said, "No, I haven't done it this year again because nobody wanted to do it. And last year nobody wanted to do it, and this year I decided I wasn't going to do it." And she said, she says, "I remember acting Mary." And I said,
Oh,
would you
wow.
like to act Mary again?" And then some of her older pals with her said, "I want to be in that." So she takes them all away, telling them that this woman, that woman, she's a Christian and she knows all about God. And I tell you, that's the impact that of it would have been 8 then. And she had, yes. So
And
that gave me goosebumps there.
it is a unique opportunity, and I don't think we shouldn't let that escape us. We shouldn't let, in a culture where we live today, where everything is commercialized and everything is generalized and everything is set so that it's tolerance of multi-faith, I think when we get the opportunity to present what is effectively the birth of our faith, the birth of our Saviour, we shouldn't brush that away quite so lightly and quite so quickly. Because I certainly, as a parent, when I stand there just watching these 3-4-year-olds who have worked for weeks memorizing these verses, and or even just the one verse, and it's like, you know, and Mary comes and goes, "I am with child by the Holy Spirit," and it's
well, it's powerful. It really is.
It really is.
I remember that nativity play 2 years ago. A wee girl in it. She was only three, and she was going to be one of the animals in the stable. And her mum wanted her to wear a little sheep's onesie she had.
Mm-hmm.
The girl insisted, no, she had to be a unicorn. So we had a unicorn in the stable scene, which was absolutely brilliant. It was, come on.
Hey, I think it does present a wonderful opportunity for evangelism, and we shouldn't ignore that, because, you know, people and a lot of these children, yes, they might fall away from the faith, but it presents them with that idea of Jesus from a very young age, and they know what it's about. And you never know. For some of them, they might have been christened in churches, they might fall away, but they might come back. There's something magical about Christmas that makes you want to believe, and not just believe in the magic of Christmas, because the magic of Christmas to me is the virgin birth. The magic of Christmas to me is that miracle of a baby being
Amen.
born without man.
Amen.
And for me, that's the magic of Christmas. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at that in all the wonder and all the awe, you can't help but think, how is this story going to end? What happens to that little baby? Or what's so special about that baby that makes everybody want to bow down to him? And for some people, that's the start of a seed that God will see.
Exactly.
Come to fruition. And I think we should certainly celebrate that. So give the gift of time this Christmas.
Amen.
Appreciate the opportunity for evangelism that Christmas presents us with.
Yes.
And talk to people about the nativity. Have you been to see the nativity play? What did you think of it? Mm-hmm. What happened to Mary? Who do you think visited Mary? How do you think she conceived the baby? Speak to people about the nativity plays that you're going to see.
Exactly.
And let's make it a joyful season of giving.
Amen. I agree wholeheartedly. I really do. And there is something special about Christmas. I remember my dad telling me, I was only maybe about 6, maybe 7 at the time.
Mm.
And my dad told me that on Christmas Eve into Christmas morning, midnight,
mm.
if you can sneak into a stable where there's donkeys,
mm.
you'll see the donkeys getting down and bow down.
Oh, wow.
And I believe my dad, because my dad told me he saw this. Because if you look at a donkey too, a little donkey has a cross on its back.
Okay.
Yeah. And he told me, I remember him telling me that it was a donkey that Mary rode on when going to Bethlehem. And it was a donkey that Jesus rode into Jerusalem in at Passover. So a donkey is a very holy animal, because that's why it's got its cross. And if you can sneak into the stable, and I remember my dad telling me, but you have to be very, very, very quiet, and so as you don't interrupt the donkeys. But whether it's right, I've never witnessed it, but I believe my dad. That, but then again, I believe my dad until I was 10, that sheep were pigs with fur coats.
Yeah, that is brilliant.
It's like, seriously, he told me pigs were sheep. No, sheep were pigs with fur coats. Seriously, he did. Driving down a road one day, he says to all of us in the car, "You, that's a real rich farmer. How do you know, Dad? Well, look at that. He can afford fur coats for his pigs." And we believed him. We believed him. But I do believe that there is something about the donkey with the cross on its back. The next time you see a picture of a donkey, or the next time you're out in the countryside at a farm or something with kids, look for a donkey. They've got crosses in their back, all the way down the back and right across the shoulder blades.
Take a picture and send it in to us. We'd love to see that too.
I will get a picture. I will. Yeah. And so there's something even magical about that, just thinking about that, that maybe A donkey even bows down to Jesus at Christmas at midnight. And when I lived in Florida, I never ever knew about this until I lived in Florida. And my late husband taught it to me. And it was a lot of the Mexican people that came up to America has brought this up. And on Christmas Eve, it's called Luminaria. And they're not lit until about 11 o'clock on Christmas Eve, but several days beforehand, they will put little, you can buy them now, electric ones, plastic and electric and everything. But back in the day, were their little brown paper bags filled with sand and a little candle put into them. And at 9 o'clock, somebody went out and lit them all. And the line down the whole driveways and the whole way around the perimeter of their houses. And you can, I'll find a picture of it too from a Mexican village where every house is lit up. And what it is, that's letting Jesus know that he's welcome. There's room at that inn for them.
Ah, that's beautiful. What a beautiful image that casts.
I tell you, that is a beautiful, I'm still getting all warm and fuzzy just thinking about it. And I was introduced to that even before I was a born again believer. And I remember that, and I tell you, that is a lovely sight. And so at Christmas Eve, I light a wee candle and put it in the window that there's room here for you, Jesus.
That's
Yeah.
wonderful. That is a lovely thought.
Isn't
Oh,
it?
wow. Yes, but it's been a lovely conversation.
It's been lovely. Yes.
Hasn't it?
I hope it helps some people. I really do.
It causes some people to stop and pause and
Yes.
give the gift of time this
Oh,
Christmas to somebody.
time, time, time. Definitely.
Yes. Shall we pray before we say
Yes,
goodnight?
so Donnie, I will let you pray out because I just love how you pray, my dear. I really do.
Oh, glory to God. Heavenly Father,
Hallelujah.
we are so grateful. Grateful that we have so much more than so many people in the world. We are grateful that out of the abundance that you give us, we have enough for ourselves and even more to share with others. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help us to recognize those around us that are poor in mind, poor in spirit, poor in health, and poor financially. Help us to give, Lord, most especially this Christmas. Help us to give the gift of time to somebody. 10 minutes, half an hour, a phone call, a quick visit, a quick hug, a quick prayer, a quick Jesus loves you and I love you and I see you and I'm here for you. Or a quick, this is my phone number, give me a call when you can. Or a quick, you're invited over for Christmas lunch. My doors are open. Help us to share our time with someone else this Christmas. Because, Lord, time is the one thing that we can't rewind. You give us time, you give us life here on earth. And so, out of the time you have given us this season, help us to give to others. Help us to share your love so that others may see your love through us and give you glory. In this season that can seem so busy and so packed and crammed with activities, help us to not forget the reason for the season. Help us to share the story of the virgin birth, the real meaning and reason for Christmas with our loved ones and friends. For those that are Christian amongst us, help us to be able to reminisce of what the Christmas story means for us personally, for our faith walk, for our wider church family. For those that are perhaps not yet Christian, help them to reflect on the birth of this very special baby that is celebrated globally throughout the world. Help them to reflect on who this baby is. Help them so that this Christmas will be the time when they find out or ask those very important life questions. May those questions and the answers lead to you, Jesus. We thank you for our network and supportive group of women throughout the UK. Thank you for the family that you have blessed us with. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to continue to encourage and support one another and to strengthen our bond and to help us to know, Lord, that we're never too far away from a Christian. You're never too far away from a sister who is willing and able to come alongside you no matter your challenge. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Help us to celebrate him today and always until he comes again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sidonie. That was beautiful.
Thank
Ladies
you.
On Facebook land, good night. We're going to close down the live stream now. Thank you all for coming. We'll read your questions later and answer them tomorrow. When I say later, I mean tomorrow. But there's been quite a lot of comments, so there has, but just not time to answer them. So good night, Facebook land, and
good night.
everyone on Zoom, good night, and everyone will be listening to this on the different podcasts. I hope you really got something from this, and it would be lovely to get some feedback from you. And if you're lonely out there in podcast land, get in touch with us and we can still get you hooked up as a phone call for Christmas Day or any day.
Yes.
Okay.
Indeed.
Good night, Zoom land.